Welcome to the Striving Together podcast, a podcast for the Imago Dei Church family to help us follow Jesus together in the grace of his gospel. My name is Shane Chaddix. I have the privilege of serving as the discipleship pastor here at IDC, and I am joined today by Manny Prieto, who is one of our other pastors, been a pastor alongside. He and I became pastors at the same time, so we have been our whole pastoral ministry experience has been running parallel. But Manny, thanks for taking the time today.
Yeah, it's good to be here, man.
Yeah. So today we are talking about friendship, and we're going to come at this from a couple different angles. But this is something that we run into. Everybody runs into in one form or fashion, one time or another, wrestling with the idea of developing, cultivating, pursuing, finding good friends. And in some ways, this is a human challenge, just being a person living in society. And then in other ways, this takes on a particular flavor as Christians who are following Jesus. And so we just want to wrestle with some of these ideas together. So I want to invite Manny to have this conversation with me for a couple of reasons. One, because as I mentioned, Manny and I have been co-laboring for a while. We also happen to be as close to what you could call friends that either of us have.
You heard it here first, folks.
That's right. Some have said we are friends. We're not sure yet. But we are friends. And then secondly, Manny has done, some digging into this topic, this idea, wrestled with this concept for the last year and a half or so, something that you've been wrestling with or thinking about. What prompted that for you?
Yeah, I mean, so many things end up pointing back to my sabbatical time, but one of the many things I realized during sabbatical was that I'm not great at friendship historically, particularly since becoming a pastor. Most of my relationships ended up being the kind where I'm pouring into people, and honestly, I love that, I enjoy that, yeah. But I failed to recognize that I also needed to be known, to be vulnerable, to have someone else know me, care for me, all these biblical things. And when I became aware of it, I'm like, well, let me stop being terrible at it and let me wrap my mind around what that might look like. And so I did a little bit of reading, yeah. Some would say I'm an expert, but I wouldn't say that about myself, no.
Well, I definitely would, which is why we've given you a year and a half or so to marinate on it, and now we're asking for you to impart your wisdom. So let's start with just kind of on a definitional level. You don't have to, this doesn't have to be like a super technical definition, but when we're talking about friendship, what are we talking about? Do you have like a kind of a functional definition of friendship that we can work with?
Yeah, definitely won't make it into any textbook or anything of the sort. So I think we've all heard C.S. Lewis's, people walking together in one direction. I think that's a helpful image. The way that I, in my own mind, try to think about what are we talking about when we talk about friendship from a biblical perspective is this idea of people who are following Jesus together in such a way that like that relationship brings glory to God, reflects something of what God is like to each other, to the community around them, just in a particular way. So in many ways, it's not unlike just the fellowship that we all have as believers. I would just think of it as a deeper and perhaps at times even sweeter version of that, but not wholly different.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 That sweeter component seems at least helpful for our kind of common way of talking about friendship. Is mm-hmm. There are other relationships that we have that are easy, that are good, that are refreshing mm-hmm. or whatever. But friendship is usually something that is enjoyed. It's something mm-hmm. that we delight in to some degree. Mm-hmm. Going back to the C.S. Lewis kind of definition, and I'm going to butcher this, but just that idea of friendship is when you find somebody who thinks about something the same way you do, or find something, and you find yourself saying, "Oh, you too." Mm-hmm. That being the idea, that makes it sound like friendship is something that we find. Mm-hmm. Let me just kind of double click on that. Would you say that friendship and the kind of friendship that you're talking about cultivating and or having and enjoying in the Lord, like, is that something that you primarily find, or is that something that you pursue and cultivate? So you mentioned your sabbatical, realizing this is not something you do well. Why not just pass that off as, well, you haven't just found the right friends? Mm-hmm. Why is that something that you kind of took a level of responsibility and said, I need to change here?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think there's a real emphasis on creating it and cultivating it.
Okay.
I don't think that a biblical friendship is something that you happen upon.
Okay.
It just happens to you by accident and you just reap its benefits without some real work. And so I do think it takes real concerted effort to say, what would this look like? You know, how would I be a friend? What kind of person would that mean that I have to be? How do I relate to others in this way? And inevitably there is the need for reciprocity there, right?
Yeah.
And so I can't control that. So if I wanted to be your friend, Shane, but you were just not having it, not that that's what's happened here, but you know,
I mean, for the first like 5 years, that's more or less. I
couldn't just be your friend without you being
right.
my friend in return. And there might be all kinds of good reasons why that would be the case. You
sure.
know, we might be busy, our schedules never line up, you know, you live in a different state, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And so there is a finding element, you know, but I don't think that is the whole story.
Okay.
And so I think wherever we are, I think there are things that we can do to pursue friendship. And perhaps we'll talk about this in a second. I think it also will require of us to have different expectations of friendship. Because I think if we're looking for every friendship has to look like David and Jonathan, we're going to be left wanting.
yeah. Okay. Let's chase that down. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things I want to make sure that we do here is to recognize that like friendship is not in some senses a distinctly Christian thing. Like mm-hmm. unbelievers can have friends, can mm-hmm. be friends, can be friendly, can have genuine, mm-hmm. Meaningful friendships. But how do we think about friendship as disciples? Mm-hmm. And then how do we think about friendship biblically? So you mentioned David and Jonathan. Mm-hmm. Maybe expand on that a little bit more. Where else can we go, I think, in the scriptures to gather some data points that mm-hmm. show us what God is giving us and how we can think about friendship as followers mm-hmm. of Jesus?
Mm-hmm. So what's been helpful for me, thinking about God and creation, you know, let us create man and our own image, like God himself lives in community. He creates man to reflect his image. But part of that is man's not alone. It's not good for man to be alone. And so that communal aspect is there from the beginning, that part of what it means to be God's image bearers is that we live in community in relation with one another. And as I said earlier, that I think that is present in believers, like me and every other believer share that as a fact. You know, we are one in Christ, we are his body. But there are also particulars that circumstantially and otherwise would lead to a deeper enjoyment of that truth with particular people. And so I'm tying it back to what's God like and what am I supposed to be doing here in this life, which is reflecting him, bearing his image for his glory. And for me to do that well, I need other people, and I need at least some of those people to be a little bit closer than just the general population,
right.
you know? And so I think about that. I think about John 15, Jesus telling the disciples that there's no greater love than this than to lay down your life for your friends. And so I think some of the markers of a biblical friendship are that idea of sacrifice
yeah.
and service, the good of the other being a driving force, which I think honestly is probably lacking in most like secular friendships. From my own experiences of it, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for everybody, but from my own experiences of non-biblical friendship, it's been very selfish. You know, what can I get out of this? And when the benefits run out, well, what's the point of continuing this? We just drift away and sever ties. From a biblical perspective, it seems that that's not how we are to think about
it.
There's a service orientation toward it. Those are some of the big passages that, you know, jump to mind. You know, in that same John 15 passage, Jesus tells the disciples, no longer do I call you servants, I call you friends. And he says, because everything I've heard from the Father, I've told to you, you know. And so that to me kind of indicates like there's a nearness there.
Yeah.
You know, the
like a self-disclosure.
What he's gotten from the Father, he's not withheld, but he's shared it with them. I think that's present, needs to be present in friendship, you know, that you know me, I know you. I'm not withholding. I'm not hiding myself from you in some sense. And then thinking about, you know, David and Jonathan, I think is just a great example of that. The idea of their souls being knit together, loving, you know, Jonathan loving David as his own soul. So question for you, Shane, do you love me as your own soul?
You're going to put me on the spot. I prefer not to comment. Yeah. Jury's still out.
Yeah,
that's good. Wow. Okay. That's good. You threw me there. Anyway.
My work here's done.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, just following on that. Not many of you guys get to hear me be speechless very often, so this is it right here. But following on that, just thinking about that, how friendship takes on a particularly Jesus shape or gospel formed mm-hmm. element to it. If there is an aspect of friendship that is committing to one another, that sense of that for the other, that love that is others oriented and working for their good, but at the same time finding delight in that mm-hmm. and in them, and that mm-hmm. that sense of finding in this person something that it is that C.S. Lewis, that you too. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're in Christ together, what more beautiful thing can I find in somebody than Jesus working at work in them? And mm-hmm. so there's, I have no problem saying unbelievers can obviously have meaningful and deep friendships, mm-hmm. they're never going to find Christ in an unbeliever, right? Mm-hmm. They're never going to find the Savior at work in someone who is not united to God through Christ. And so, there is the possibility of that. You talked about the deepening and mm-hmm. the depth of relationship. There's the possibility of just a quality of thing mm-hmm. that we find and we take delight in somebody else when two believers are friends with one another, that is hard to find or is not really able to find anywhere else, and is truly beautiful. It's something that is delightful when we find the Lord at work in other people. And so I think that's just this kind of unique flavor that we have as Christians is when we are befriending one another, we're not just looking for our own good and our own kind of what can I get out of this, but we're actually looking for God at work in somebody else and then taking enjoyment in that, in a way that is selfless, but we really are drawn to, right? Mm-hmm. Because, and it's not just their personality or their whatever, but mm-hmm. it's the Lord at work in them in a particular way. And I just think that's a really neat possibility that we have mm-hmm. That as Christ followers, a neat layer of friendship that isn't necessarily going to pop up, mm-hmm. you know, just anywhere else you find the world talking about mm-hmm. friendship.
No, that's great. That's great. I'm glad you said that, because I think it would be easy for us to mistake, you know, what is the icing on the cake for the cake itself. Mm. And I think friendship is beautiful. It is, I think, from God, you know. But if we understand friendship to be this thing where, like, here's what I like and what, you know, makes me feel good and what I can get out of it, we're kind of missing the point. Like, a good biblical friendship that is honoring to the Lord isn't focused on itself.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's a byproduct of that you too moment of saying, hey, like, we're actually trying to follow Jesus in a particular time, in a particular place, with particular strengths, weaknesses, or whatever. And something about my set of strengths and weaknesses and following Jesus now, here, and yours line up in such a way where it's like, this is really sweet, you know, and let's not keep looking at each other the whole time, because that's kind of weird.
That's weird.
Let's keep looking at Jesus, but it's like, it's so great that you're here too, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I think being able to, that it's so great element is, I think, properly situates friendship too. It's like, mm-hmm. this is a gift. This mm-hmm. It's just a real kindness. When we get friends mm-hmm. that we can follow the Lord with, mm-hmm. That's a real, it's just a kindness of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's a sweet thing, mm-hmm. but I do think it raises the question, like, is this something we're promised? So is friendship, as we're talking about this kind of sweet, deep, David and Jonathan style mm-hmm. knitting of hearts together, is that something that we as Christians should consider something that is owed us, or we are expected to have, or is that one of those things that's like, it's a good gift from the Lord, but it might not necessarily be something that we always get to experience, or always get to experience in the same way. Like, as though friendship is static. And like, once you reach friend level in your life, it's just like,
you're set.
You're set until, which I think most of us would say is probably not how we experience all manner of friendship. So mm-hmm. anyway, what do you think? Is it something that we should look at as an expectation or an entitlement, or more of like a nice if you have it, but no big deal if you don't, or something else?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't think we should have an expectation that we're going to have that kind of a friendship.
Okay.
I think it is certainly a grace if the Lord grants it to us. But I would not walk around with the expectation that until I find the David to my Jonathan, I am owed something by the Lord. In fact, I think that attitude can actually rob us of the joy of the not quite David and Jonathan relationships that we perhaps already have.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why I've already said it a few times, but I don't want to get away from the idea that friendship is like a deepening of the fellowship that we have with one another, is that like, I just don't think it's this other thing, you know? I just think it's like a deeper, sweeter version of what we already have with, you know, if you're a member of IDC with 700 other people here, you know? And so I don't want to pretend like you've got to go out there and find, you know, the one unicorn. It's like, you know, someone whom I love as my own soul. praise God if you find that person. But
like, put it on hoop board. Looking hoop board.
Yeah, it's going to get really weird on hoop board. Yeah. But there are 700 other people, you know, at this church that you share a particular bond with. And I want to encourage you to enjoy those people and not detract anything from what you have with those people because it isn't, you know, some idealized version. And if you do find a sweetness with somebody where it's like, this is really special. Yeah. This is a real grace from the Lord. Still, don't let it rob you of all these other relationships, because I think when we take something that is good, make it into an idol, we just, you know, run aground very quickly and run into all kinds of trouble.
No doubt. That's good.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, because of the practicalities and the just the development of life. I mean, friendship looks different at different stages of life. You know, that closeness just takes on different forms, and it's easier to cultivate in some stages of life, and it's harder to cultivate in other stages of life. And I mean, for example, my daughter, who's six, last week was out of town. She and Alicia went to go visit some friends, but they were friends that my daughter didn't really know. But they also have a little girl, and they became quick friends. Mm-hmm. And like, that's pretty much like what friendship looks like for my 6-year-old daughter. Like, it's just like, meet somebody. They're great. You like to play with the same things I do. You've, you know, read the same books. We're friends at this point. Whereas I think the older you get, and you know, you and I are both in our mid-30s or whatever, and so I know that there's still stages of life beyond where we're at, where friendship gets either more challenging or more complicated, or it takes on different forms because, well, I mean, when you're in your mid-50s, you've like catching somebody up to where you're at is it just takes more time because you just lived through so much, and so that is a real challenge. And so you don't want to say, well, either God is being unfaithful to me, or at any stage of life, or I need to keep kind of wandering until I find this kind of platonic ideal of friendship to be faithful, to love people, to experience biblical community, all those kind of things, while at the same time saying, man, when the Lord provides sweet friends, what a gift! Like what a gift that He has given us,
right.
And I do long for it, and it is helpful. But at the same time, don't shortchange the relationships that are there, even if they don't kind of reach that, you know. David and Jonathan, Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer to a brother. You know, it's great if when you read that verse, you know, 3, 4, 5 people come to mind.
Yeah.
But even when no other, you know, companion comes to mind, not in this sense, I guess, but that's the wrong choice of words, but no other friend in this life comes to mind, on the one hand, the Lord Jesus ought to come to mind, right? There is a friend who comes, sticks closer to a brother, and through him, we have a community that is given to us to keep us from going into ruin, even while we might long for that kind of particularly sweet thing. And so, obviously, when we talk about this, no one should hear us saying this is an easy thing. No, friendship can actually be a very hard thing. along those lines, let me just ask you, you mentioned this idea of like, I wasn't very good at friendship. You realized you weren't doing this very well. What do you see as some of the barriers that people run into, yourself included, but people are running into that are preventing us from cultivating good gospel friendships with other people? What are the other forces at play that are kind of stalling that pursuit?
Yeah, man, that's a great question. How much time do we have?
roughly 9 minutes.
Okay. That's oddly specific. So me, I really struggled with being vulnerable.
Right.
And, you know, we can turn this into a therapy session here real quick. But the way that I grew up, just kind of being vulnerable was not, you know, something that I learned to do well that resulted in positive outcomes for me. you know, there, I tended to assume the narrative that to be loved by people, to be accepted by people, I had to provide a value to them, you know? And if I didn't, then, you know, what's the point of carrying dead weight around? It's kind of how I tend to feel about myself. Yeah. You know, obviously the gospel speaks a different story.
Yeah.
But that's what I wrestle with. And so, particularly when I became a pastor, it just became very easy to say, well, the service that I provide to people is I'm the one shepherding them.
Right.
I'm the one doing all these things. And when someone is having to do that for me, well, what value am I providing? That seems like somebody that gets left behind and gets rejected and gets, you know, not loved. And so I didn't go deep with that thought. I just assumed it and went along, you know, built patterns out of it. And it wasn't until I realized I've been living this way in a way that actually denies the truth of the gospel, you know, and that's what needs to change. So for me, it was that, like, I didn't have a real interest in being known, just out of fear of being rejected, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
I also think, you know, there are all kinds of like cultural things that get in the way of depth. You know, so many of us are on all kinds of social media, and social media is just really good at giving us the illusion of closeness, you know?
Yeah.
I can see all of Shane's posts on Instagram and just be like, I really know that guy.
Yeah.
You know, don't go look for Shane's posts on Instagram. They don't exist.
Yeah.
but you know, you can feel like, I really know that person because I was at the kid's birthday party. No, actually I wasn't. I just saw a picture on the internet, you know, all these kinds of things create the illusion of it. But don't actually provide like the nearness, the tangible aspects of real life friendship.
Yeah.
And so they leave us feeling empty. And when we come to real life people, it's like, well, I don't even know what to do here.
Yeah.
I don't know what this needs to look like. I could go for a while, but for me, I think those are two that stand out. Like we have bought into versions of friendship, visions, illusions of friendship that just aren't real, you know, whether it came from a sitcom or social media or whatever. And we allow those to kind of rob the joy and the experience of real life friendship from us. And then it's just hard to be known, you know, because when people see that you're not always put together and kind of ugly sometimes, it's a scary thought.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the actually beautiful things about friendship. One of the markers I would look to of saying like, do we have a good friendship here? Is has somebody seen you, you know, so to speak, without your makeup on, you know, has somebody seen like the less glamorous and less put together parts of you? And have they been able to move toward you?
Yeah.
Not in a way that just pretends like, man, you look pretty messed up right now, which can be a temptation. Like a friendship has to validate everything that I am. It is about my, you know, self-actualization. And I just don't think that's biblical.
Right.
But I also don't think it looks like, whoa, Shane, like you look pretty rough today. I'm going to run away from you.
Right.
Put yourself together. I actually think it looks more like a moving toward and saying, hey, you look pretty rough. I love you, despite the fact that you look pretty rough, you know, despite the fact that things are not as they should be, I'm moving towards you. That's kind of what God is like, right? Yeah. You know, oh, I get to experience a little bit of God's love by friends moving toward when I'm unlovely. I also get to experience a little bit of what God is like when friends don't leave me that way and say, hey, you should put yourself, you know, get yourself together a little bit. Like, this is not a good way to continue being. And let me love you through that. Let me be with you here. Let me point you to Jesus. It's like, man, this is pretty awesome when you get to not always have to be put together, but also not assume that like people just have to embrace that, but rather to say people will love me enough to be there as I grow into Christlikeness, we'll do that together. So anyway.
No, that's good. I really appreciate that. It's striking to me how many of those barriers go back to some kind of fear. Fear of rejection, fear of being kind of known in all the ugliness, fear of being a burden on people because, I mean, let's be honest, when our mess is out there, it's like, and people are not just supposed to be like, oh man, hate that for you, you know, I got to go. But if they're going to respond as a friend would, as a brother would, as part of the biblical community, you're kind of asking them to like, take the burden on you, which is just such a vulnerable and weak place to be. And so there's just so much fear that that's not going to happen, or that it's going to come back and haunt us, or that we're going to be disappointed, or that we're going to be rejected. And it's just, I think for those of us who are in the Christian community, and especially in a local church community, that fear in particular ought not be controlling. It doesn't, nobody's going to pretend that it's not there, but it ought not be controlling because on the one hand, we've got this promise. We've already been accepted, you know, like no matter how much of the garbage, like in Christ, that rejection is not the final say. And so in some ways there's a boldness, there's an getting into meaningful friendship is an act of faith, not in the person, but ultimately in the Lord that says, no matter how much this friend fails me.
Right. And they will.
And they will. And they will. And that's just so like, frustrating because we can kind of create this ideal, but they will fail you, but the Lord will not. So he will be able to sustain me through these kind of dips and, you know, valleys and mountaintop experiences with other friends. But also the Christian community in a unique way ought to be defined, marked by this sense of, hey, I'm actually not surprised that you're kind of a mess. In fact, that's kind of the definition of like, why we're all here is that we're all kind of a mess. And so we have the freedom to be known in that messiness and then respond, you know, people respond to us with kind of an ongoing extension of the gospel that isn't just not repulse, but is actually drawn to one another in that. And I go back to your point, that ought to be a marker of the community of faith, the general fellowship we have with brothers and sisters. But we will find instances where that actually forms and strengthens this sweetness that begins to look like something we call friendship, and just how much of a grace that is. But fear and sometimes you could throw in there something like pride or whatnot, but fear being a great kind of just kind of you know, fire extinguisher on that. It just sucks all the oxygen out and creates this veneer that says put on this front, this image that says you got it all. And not only does that undercut biblical community, it ends up undercutting our ability to like have meaningful friends. We don't have to go down this road, but I was having the thought even as you were talking. In some ways, a Christian community that is concerned with putting its best foot forward is actually going to have a harder time cultivating good friendship than like lost people are. Because most of the lost people I know don't necessarily try to make it sound like they don't have like stuff going on. You know, it's actually more Christians who have a problem trying to make it seem like they've got it all together. And so in some counterintuitive way, while believers ought to have this unique opportunity for meaningful friendship, they actually get less of it than others do because of that fear and that distance that's created. I don't know. Does that ring true to you?
It does ring true. Yeah. I think so much of the way that we like naturally think about friendship, actually ends up kind of shooting us in the foot. You know, the idea, like, I think probably most of us have had some version of the thought, like, how do I win friends, right? How do I attract friends? It's this idea that, like, something about me needs to be desirable, you know, in order to gain this good. And what we're talking about is actually not that. It's saying, Jesus has been so good to us that we find ourselves in a position, having come from death to life, following him, and there's other people around us, and you can look around and say, you too, let's walk together. Like, this is great, which is decidedly different than saying, look how attractive I am, therefore be my friends. And I think we import that into our life of community, And yeah, it creates this expectation, like, I actually have to be desirable so that these people will be my friends, when we could just say, you know, none of us were desirable at all. Jesus chose to love us because he's rich in mercy. Yeah. Like, wow, isn't that great?
Yeah.
And feast on that. But we settle for, you know, lesser things.
That's good. Yeah.
Mud pies, to keep the C.S. Lewis analogies going.
Yeah, you can only quote the C.S. Lewis. Two things real quick to maybe land the plane here. One is any resources you would point people to if they want to think more about cultivating these gospel friendship. And then two, any kind of pastoral encouragements you would give to people maybe in the life of IDC that are struggling to find and cultivate meaningful friendships. Mm-hmm. Just anything you would give them is just a word of encouragement, exhortation like that, anything like that to kind of press into these kind of friendships.
Mm-hmm. I'll start with the recommendations. I actually have two books with me. One is called The Company We Keep: In Search of Biblical Friendship, and it is by Jonathan Holmes. It is a short little book, but I have found it just very helpful. I've read this cover to cover, and yeah, I just found it super helpful. And then there's another one called Made for Friendship by Drew Hunter. It's not quite as thin, but still not very thick. And yeah, just super helpful. Mm. Thinking biblically about friendship. And
do they quote C.S. Lewis?
I bet they do. Okay. Yeah, no, I know for a fact that they do.
Okay. That's my one requirement.
Yeah. Yeah, and as far as encouragement, I think I would say it is good to desire deep friendship, biblical friendship. It is good to make those requests known to the Lord. I would also say, in line with that, don't neglect to see the grace that's already been given. As I mentioned here, IDC. There's 700 members. You're not going to be best friends with all 700. But within those 700, we have growth groups. You can start looking around there, but you're not bound just to your growth group. Pursuing, like, who already has the Lord given me that I might be able to invest in this way? And again, I think if the thing that we're looking for is friendship, we're gonna bark up the wrong tree. Mm. But instead, if what we're looking for is, how do I, like, reflect God's glory with his people, and enjoy doing that, I think we might find friendship as a really neat byproduct of that pursuit.
Yeah.
And so I would encourage you to be the kind of friend that reflects what God is like, and don't expect anything in return. And I suspect you will find at some point some degree of reciprocity that is joyful, sweet, may not look the way that you thought it would, but is no less real.
Yeah.
I would encourage you to look away from ideals, to not hold those up, and to just say, you know, like, life is a lot messier than some, you know, Disney version of friendship. And so let's embrace what the Lord has given. Let's trust his provision. It's good. I think there's some parallels to marriage. Marriage is a good thing. Marriage is not the ultimate thing. Marriage gives us an avenue to reflect God's glory, but so does singleness. And so having a David and Jonathan friendship will give you some real opportunities to reflect what God is like, but it won't rob you of the opportunity to reflect what God is like to not have that.
That's good.
And so cherish the relationships that you do have. Spend time and care on those. And then I guess just the last thing I would say is just be constant with the people in your life.
That's good.
They will not always feel rewarding. And in fact, even David and Jonathan friendships, I don't think feel that way all the time.
Yeah.
You know, life is messy and complicated, and friends have to apologize to each other, and friends sin against each other and do all these things. And so recognizing that life has ups and downs, ebbs and flows, and there's so much grace in all of that. I would just seek to enjoy where you are, what the Lord has given. Yeah. Even as you prayerfully say, I'd like a little bit more or something different. That's okay. Make those requests known to the Lord.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a helpful thing to hold on to there is recognizing wanting good things and wanting good gifts from the Lord is not bad. Mm-hmm. And so to the extent that someone desires a good thing as a good gift from God, and it's not coming through the way that you desire it, or at least in the way that you imagine it would come through. There's a space to just say, I'm sorry that you're not finding that in your immediate circumstances, or maybe even as easily as you'd like in this particular local church. We don't want that. And it's okay to like see that as something to like call out to the Lord and desire and make known. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you know, the analogy to marriage is helpful there. And the same thing, if you want to be married and you're not, like, that's not a bad, it doesn't have to be a bad desire. It can mm-hmm. be a good desire. At the same time, there's possibility for, walking and experiencing the Lord, where that desire is unfulfilled in a particular way, mm-hmm. In a unique way. And you might experience, walking with Christ in a particularly potent way for a season, mm-hmm. Even while, I think, to Manny's point, as you cultivate this kind of biblical community and pressing in and knowing and being known, mm-hmm. The hope is that it develops something that looks like a friendship, mm-hmm. To varying degrees. Mm-hmm. Again, I think my suspicion is that we'll look back on our lives and mm-hmm. look at seasons of friendship and seeing how friendships even change and morph over time, mm-hmm. And that not necessarily being their failure,
right.
that just being kind of the nature of the thing,
yeah.
Even while walking with the community of faith, mm-hmm. hopefully is a constant through all that. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, man, thanks for taking the time to share what you've been reflecting on. Thank you for even encouraging us to pursue and to be good friends as we make ourselves known, receive others as they make themselves known. Mm-hmm. There's so much really low-hanging fruit in the sense of like not super complicated, but also really mm-hmm. feels bold to kind of press in. So
yeah,
appreciate you helping us think through that. IDC Church family, thank you guys for listening. And we hope this has been a helpful conversation. We hope this spurs us on to be, yes, better friends to one another, but also better followers of Jesus together, and that this would be a community of faith where people are known, are being known, making themselves known for the sake of helping one another follow Christ and bringing glory and honor to Him who has called us friends. So thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.